This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. Full Service Radio is also proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the Shift Drink podcast on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in the heart of Washington, D.C. We broadcast every Monday at 3 p.m., and you can later catch us archived on fullserviceradio.org. I'm Eddie Kim, a bartender around town. I'm not quite extraordinaire, just making it there.
Where are you at these days?
I am at Maidan these days. Maidan is newly opened for about a month. It's a Middle Eastern, North African restaurant. We do a little bit of everything, a little crazy stuff.
Super hot spot. And I'm Matthew Ramsey, chef, cookbook author, and photographer. Currently working over at Pineapple and Pearls. And we're joined today with our guest, Nate Mann.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Nate is another bartender around town. Actually, we've worked together at previous places, specifically Room 11 in the Columbia Heights neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
It's a very, very small, petite bar, so we got to be very, very, very intimate with
one
another.
It's a very romantic space.
One of my favorite cocktail bars in D.C. for sure. Well, this is Shift Drink. We're here every week. We share a Shift Drink with a guest and swap stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, brewers, bakers, you name it, the all-encompassing industry. And today is it's January 8th. We're in the middle, not quite middle, of dry January.
We're right in the worst part.
Yeah.
One weekend. When you start having the jitters.
Yeah. Well, I've never done this before, and I wanted to take a break. It gets crazy at the bar, obviously. You're surrounded by alcohol.
Sure.
People want to drink with you constantly. But I wanted to do it in December, but that's not very practical with the holidays. And
why did you choose January? Is it just because it seems to be a thing?
It was just so crazy leading up to the end of the year. And, like, I just needed a break. You need to reset sometimes,
yeah.
You know, and just clear out.
Yeah.
Wake up not hungover 30 days in a row. That's kind of great.
It's kind of a gift, isn't it? Extremely boring. Yeah.
It's not hard. I'm like not having a difficult time with it. Just like sometimes I go to pour a taste of wine or something and just smell it instead of drink it. But
sure.
It's not hard. It's just really boring.
Yeah. So I'm also doing dry January this year.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's has challenges for sure. But it's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Oh, not at
but
all.
But like... my girlfriend yesterday, she went on a limousine to Topgolf, and it was like all you could drink in the limousine. It wasn't just any limousine. It was like a Hummer limousine.
Wow.
You know, and they're popping bottles, and like, I can't imagine just being like, pass me the water, please.
Oh, I have a Pellegrino.
Yeah. So it does have its challenges. But day eight, going strong.
Yeah, man. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm much more refreshed in the morning, and I've found I've been a bit more productive.
Yeah.
Because I'm at home. I don't really feel like going out. I'm just trying to save money as well. So I just do work at home. And I've been experimenting with, like, the non-alcoholic aspects of bartending.
Sure.
It's really weird because I have a full bar at home, and I do experiments there, and we experiment at work. But when you're not drinking, you can't really taste. You can't, like, cheat by tasting seven cocktails. You know
right,
what I mean? You
right, right, right. That. At some point, your palate.
So, but there's a lot. There's a lot to read, which is great. I rarely have time to make time to do that.
Sure.
I'm doing that a lot more. And, yeah, like, you know, digging into the Bloody Mary mix or digging into my shrubs.
Right on.
Things like that. Definitely smoking twice as much weed as I usually
well, that's,
do.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So that does, it reminds me, we do have a shift drink, and I'm putting that in air quotes. We're drinking coffee.
Considering that in your second episode, we're,
yeah.
we're contradicting our name of our podcast already.
But, you know, I mean, that goes to say there's plenty of people in our industry that don't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's
certainly in the forefront.
You got to find your own thing, right?
Yeah, and it's a major issue that's in the forefront of the restaurant and beverage industry. We're all kind of realizing that, I mean, that we need to take better care of ourselves for longevity time.
Yeah.
Definitely, as you get older, that becomes a reality.
Right, right. We're not, we're kind of like athletes in that sense. We have a time stamp on us.
Give me the shot.
I mean, there are a lot of great bartenders out there who have notably said in public that they do not drink on days that they're working. Mm-hmm. I know Pam Winsnitzer up in New York, mm-hmm. She does that, and a couple other folks around town.
Yeah, no, totally. Mm-hmm. Well, for today's shift drink, we have a coffee, and then I brought in some cream. That's been infused with a little cannabis.
Hmm.
Thought it'd be fun to partake. Jack, is it safe to say we're the first people to drink cannabis-infused cream?
Yeah, I mean, that was just this function I had installed where anytime cannabis is mentioned, the air horn goes on its own. So
noted.
Big green light.
I'm glad it works.
Big green light. Yeah, that's good. The whole hotel knows that.
The smoke machine seems to be working as well.
Oh, good, good, good.
All right, so I'm gonna.
So you're under arrest.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really oily. It's like really, like oily or buttery.
That's just So I think the butter fat is separated. So basically, I cooked this sous vide style.
Oh, nice.
So for about 6 hours, I have a friend out in California. Her name is Monica Lowe. She started this really cool blog called Sous Vide. So instead of sous viding, sous vide.
So sous vide, you're cooking it in a hot water bath.
Should be
like a vacuum bag.
Exactly. So sous vide being under pressure, so it's literally vac-packed and then cooked underwater at a very normal temp. I'd be happy to talk about that process a little bit later, but yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers to dry January.
Your pink cups.
Not brown January or whatever the opposite of green January is.
Yeah, no. Definitely dry January. Delicious.
I will say this is the first time. So we made this cream for the intents of serving it with coffee. This is before Dry January, and it was coffee enhances the qualities of cannabis. Apparently,
it's funny. I was just having this conversation last night with my friend. She loves Irish coffee, and we've been messing around. I know you were messing around in room 11 with your Irish coffee. I was doing the same thing the day before. We didn't even know that, but She was like, I would love a cannabis Irish coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such a good idea.
Well, I do so have
without alcohol for dry in January.
I call it crossfade.
Yeah. that is something that I'm definitely going to work on. I guess like a cane syrup, weed cane syrup would be great for that.
Yeah.
Cannabis Irish coffee.
Well, the whipped cream. Where did that work?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that too. If you wanted it to affect the flavor of the coffee, like, I know I've been whipping heavy cream for the top of the Irish coffee, so it might not mix all in, but if you wanted it, and also you would want the marijuana to be in, like, mixed in with the coffee because the coffee does such great cannabis flavor.
Have you experimented much with the cannabis in infusions with booze at all, or?
Yeah, for sure. It gets kind of expensive, so I haven't done too much of it. I do have a lot of customers that come in and they're like, can you make me something with this? And they just like, you know, put something on the bar. So I have experimented quite a bit with the cannabis flavor. I made tinctures.
Okay.
And I've made syrup before.
What's your methodology when doing a tincture? Like,
so, I mean, the most important part that people forget, and that's really easy, it's like the first thing you'll read about is it's decarbing it, so it's basically a fancy way to say heat up the cannabis, so it's like
foreplay for weed.
Exactly.
You gotta warm it up
and then it releases the THC in it actually, and it allows the flavor to come through a little bit better. I find that if you use a high proof spirit to make a tincture, I do like 1 ounce per 1 gram to kind of really get the flavor out. And
So you're thinking about not only just the high aspect, which is I think what a lot of people would be thinking about, but you're also thinking about flavor.
Yeah, it's funny because as a bartender, I mean, I'm interested in the flavor. As a bartender who smokes weed regularly,
right.
Like I'm interested in the flavor of the cannabis or the specific strain that I might pick to pair with a certain other flavor, you know? Yes, you... Everyone wants to get high from what they're drinking, I guess.
Sure.
It's the cool thing, but
right.
It's not really going to affect you that much. Like the amount of cannabis product that I've had to put in the cocktails.
Right.
I mean, for an everyday smoker, you're really not going to feel it like that. You might feel it a little later, but it can sneak up on people though. So you do have to be careful and test a lot.
I mean, like you're saying, like it's just not cost effective, right?
Right.
I mean, unless you're growing, but
if
like,
you're growing, right, growing, which you can do in DC.
Yeah, but the amount of product that you need, and then also you're buying the bottle of, you know, liquor on top of that.
Right.
So it's
exactly
it adds up. But actually, Eddie and I, the first time Eddie, Kim, and I met.
Oh, you're gonna tell this
story. Do you even remember this?
Please, God, tell
this. So Eddie and I met, and we Eddie helped me out with my pop up stuff way back when.
Yeah, you used to do a series of dinner parties in your apartment,
yeah,
your tiny basement apartment.
It was called
four at a time.
Yeah, it's called Bar R.
Sweet. What years are we talking?
This is maybe a couple years ago.
Okay.
And this is when my Porn Burger stuff was coming out. My my blog stuff was making it big, and I was basically making a 7-course meal. With at the heart of it, there was a Porn Burger, and there's usually a secret joint course where I'd pass around a joint for everybody,
mm-hmm,
and then we'd have a little palate cleanser. But Eddie Kim, I would have these guests come, and Eddie Kim was one of these guests. And it's kind of like Pee Wee's Playhouse, where they, you know, walk in the front door, do something, and then just kind of exit out the back.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Kim made the opening cocktail, and then came back to, I think, just kind of hang out, right?
Hang out. Yeah, we had an accordion player in the background, and in your backyard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jason or Fanon was there playing the accordion.
The accordion player, and then we're just all hanging out, and then just have a jolly good time around the fire.
And we're celebrating, and I was like, Eddie, you can. Anything in the bar, whatever you want, you can use that to make a cocktail. And I had infused, without telling him, I totally forgot that I had this, was some Fernet with cannabis in it.
That is so good.
And Eddie Kim naturally went for the Fernet.
Yeah.
And we weren't even making cocktails.
We were just ripping shots.
Yeah.
And 4 days later, I get a text from Eddie Kim saying, do you know where my phone is?
Well,
yeah.
No, that was when I found my phone. It was. You can call it a 4-day long hangover with like physical and emotional, like.
So yeah, this is our cautionary tale. Basically, you need to be careful with this stuff because.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eddie was out for a bit, and I was definitely out for a couple of days.
Yeah. You're not going to hear from me until next week.
Yeah.
Next week's episode after drinking this coffee.
Yeah. Drink up, gentlemen.
God knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I've found that it can be particularly strong if you infuse like an entire bottle of vodka or gin, like people like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to use like an accompanying element, like a syrup or a tincture.
Sure.
I did a high proof rum agricole weed tincture because mm-hmm. there's like the super funkiness in the rum agricole and grassiness.
Yeah.
That,
mm-hmm. I can see that.
Went really well. So, I mean, if any bartenders like are playing around, I would advise to like play around with things that you think might pair. Like mezcal is great with cannabis.
Done.
Cannabis is a relative of hops as well.
Right.
So things that go with hops like grapefruit and chocolate, like I'm making a grapefruit mole tonic.
Ooh.
With cannabis. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully that can be another nice non-alcoholic shift drink for me.
Right on.
For the month. But yeah, I'll let you know how that goes. But like, yeah, man, you can get really crazy with it. It's so potent.
Yeah.
It's great.
And what was your recommendation on like when you're infusing, how much per bottle or?
I mean, it depends what you're going for. I've seen all different kinds of people do all different kinds of things. Like, and if you're infusing liquor, like a 750 mil,
yeah,
like an eighth of weed with that.
Okay.
Is fine. If you want to put a quarter in there, you can.
You got to decarb that weed, friends.
You got to decarb it. Just put it in the oven, you know, slow burn. But yeah. And if you're making a tincture, I do a gram of weed per ounce.
Okay, cool.
And then with the tincture, you decarb it, you put it in there, you shake it up, and I put it in the freezer for like 10 days and shake it every day.
On top of just like awesome drinks out there, there's like really fun names. Like I was looking on the internet today. There's High Ties.
High Ties
plays on the Mai Tai.
There's the sour teasel.
Ooh,
at,
nice.
What is this place
I'm
called?
I'm so far out of California right now.
Gracias Madre.
Ah, okay.
But he only uses CBD. So he is interested in the flavor as well, not really getting right on super high.
Well, I mean, we can talk about CBD too, because, I mean, you said you have a CBD wax pen here.
Yeah, so CBD is another element in marijuana that's separate from THC. It doesn't get you high, right? It's not a psychoactive component. But it is great. I find as a regular smoker, I need it very concentrated or I don't really notice it. But it's great for anxiety. It's very focusing, which is crazy. And if you have a very strong, like this CBD wax right here, you do get a kind of little body tingle from it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I brought this wax pen. It's great, like, for the morning, if you can't be all fucked up going to do what you're going to do.
Right.
It's just kind of focusing and calming.
Well, I was telling Eddie, I mean, literally for Christmas, I bought my parents some CBD gummies so they can just chill out in Texas. And it's over the counter. You can buy it here in Addis Morgan. I go to this place down the street called Grass & Co., which is fun. All right. Well, let's take a little break here. Weed hasn't started kicking in yet. Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm Matthew Ramsey, and we're here with Eddie Kim and Nate Mann with Shift Drink, Full Service Radio. All you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting
raps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. And today's break music, it's by Rec Tech. It's called Superficial Rappers. We'll be right back.
Back. Thanks for coming back to Full Service Radio. This is Shift Drink Podcast. I'm joined here with Matthew Ramsey, my co-host, and Nate Mann.
Hey.
We're all enjoying a nice cup of coffee from the cup we all race for, which is also in the lobby of the hotel. But we added our own little...
It's delicious coffee.
...special additive.
Mm. Our own cream.
Tastes great.
BY own creamer.
It's, I've noticed it's actually little bubbles of oil are pooling on top, so... Mm-hmm. It's like
that's the good stuff.
The butter coffee.
Yeah.
It's the new trend.
So you said every now and then you'll use the pen in the mornings when you don't want to get, you know, go about your day and get totally screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I believe you were telling me that you went to the Bartenders Guild meeting, the DC Bartenders Guild meeting.
I did indeed.
I believe it happens once a month.
The first Monday of every month.
How did that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
Do you guys all wear weird robes and...
Obviously.
I feel like it's a DC like...
Like a march downstairs single file with our torches.
Yeah.
Paddles.
No, it's great. It's a great way to just keep in touch with everybody in our community. And, you know, we get so swept up in our day-to-day, you know, we're doing inventory and we're, you know, working five shifts a week. And, like, you know, you don't really have time to get together and talk about the direction that the city's going and what we want to do. And we usually have a presenter. Today it was Kat Humidi from Capital Line Vermouth.
Awesome.
Great locally
stuff.
Made vermouth at the Columbia Distillers, place where they make Green Hat. So she's putting out a absolutely delicious product.
I
just drink it
stuff.
With soda. Yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah.
So she's definitely kind of pioneering one of the like early, you know, people that are producing liquor products in DC.
Yeah, there's some really great products coming out of the city at the moment.
Yeah.
Amaro from Don Ciccio, Fili,
oof.
Green Hat Gin, one of the first distillers to come out after Prohibition.
Cotton and Reed Rum.
Yeah, Cotton and Reed.
Great.
Ah, well, and they also just started their Allspice Jam, right? Is that...
They did that. Yeah, they did that last year. They just released that coffee rum liqueur.
Okay.
Something called Spice is Nice.
That was a limited release of the Despacino, as I believe it is called.
They are not short on puns over there.
No, certainly not. But delicious product. I'm a huge rum fan, as you may have picked up. So.
Yeah.
No. I mean, if there were a product that you would want to make, what do you think you would want?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some people about making... I would like to make a Fernet in D.C.
Yeah.
The trouble with that is, I mean... In my opinion, I'm going to get super nerdy here real quick.
Please.
So Fernet is like a sub-genre, I guess, of Amari. And through reading about it, it seems to be characterized by the presence of an iron salt from a mushroom called an agaric mushroom, right? So these mushrooms...
I'm so glad this is getting recorded,
which
so
is,
I have this to...
Which is why pregnant women used to actually drink Fernet, because pregnant women tend to be anemic, and iron helps... The production of red blood cells.
Blam. Full of fun facts.
Damn.
but anyway, this iron salt. So this mushroom agarica or agaric mushroom, would, like, Vikings would eat it, the mushroom, before a battle to induce a berserker rage.
What?
Yeah. So apparently if you get the mushroom itself and you eat a bunch of it, it is psychedelic, the effects of
this
eating it.
Also explains our night together.
Did we have mushrooms that night?
No, but we had a lot of Fernet, so maybe it was just...
So it's not like the
berserker rage.
I don't know that the mushrooms go into the distillation, but I know the iron salts are used. But so that would be the trouble. That would be the one roadblock, because I wouldn't want to make a Fernet without that agaric mushroom. Okay. And the agaric mushroom is like the classic Mario mushroom. It's red with like white polka dots on it.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
If they can make it out in San Francisco, we can make it out here in D.C.
Yeah. I don't think... So
They don't use
iron salts.
No.
So people don't adhere to this. This isn't like a accepted,
but this is
like
gonna
a
be
formal
your thing.
Thing.
It's kind of like vermouth. Well, there's no strict definition
from
of
all
vermouth.
From like the Fernets, the Italian Fernets, right? Like, you know, Fernet Branca, Fernet Angelico. Oh, no, that's Tempest Fugit. Fernet stock, and then Santa Maria al Monte is technically a Fernet as well. They do have those, the iron salt in there. So it's a... I don't want to say it's a divisive topic, because I don't think it's even a topic anyone's talking about. But
how dare you, sir? That offends me. Well, speaking of which, this kind of ties into... we have a little series or a little thing that we do here on Shift Drink called Rapid Fire.
Okay.
We're gonna dig a little deeper into who you are, and we actually kind of touched upon one of these questions, which is kind of my... I'm gonna use this as my segue to this section. So rapid fire. We're gonna work on sound effects for this period, because this is very intense. You should be sweating by the end of this. There it is. There it is.
Made you look.
All right. So rapid fire. I want you to just like... tip of the tongue, whatever.
Right off the top. I got you.
Yeah.
So, favorite spirit distilled in D.C. currently?
Ooh. I mean, right off the top, Nate. That Cotton and Reed white rum is delicious, man. They really nailed it down. They really, like, tweaked it, and they went through several versions, and it's deliciously funky.
Perfect.
I love it.
All right. Which is better, Sleepless in Seattle or You've Got Mail?
Sleepless in Seattle, simply because it is slightly has an iconic status.
I so disagree with that.
I'm going to say You've Got Mail.
Yeah, I'm not judging the movies on their merits as a movie. I can't really recall much of them.
All right. When you go out to a restaurant, are we doing flat or sparkling water, sir?
I go back and forth. I'm usually flat
lately.
But for January, I'm sparkling. Oh, my water has to be exciting.
What's your sparkling water of choice?
I'm a Pellegrino guy.
Yeah.
If I had to choose, I try to keep up with Eddie and his bougie ass mineral waters.
So speaking of, because we're going for dry, I did decide to bring the bougie ass water I could find in the
multiple
market.
Waters.
multiple. So I have Topo Chico.
My favorite.
Delicious.
Great. Hands down. In Big Mexico. Bubbles. Mm-hmm. There's Aztec lore to it. I don't know if you guys know this.
Oh, no, I don't.
Way back when, Montezuma brought his daughter to get cured in the bubbling springs of Topo Chico.
Really?
And that's how it came to be.
Wow.
So we're drinking...
There probably wasn't lime in that, virgin. Though.
No.
And then I also have another bottle of Vichy Catalan from Spain.
That's the one day you hope to wash your feet in that stuff. That's when you've made it, when you're using that.
When using that just to bathe.
Just to bathe.
That's just foot water.
It's probably the bougiest. It's delicious.
All right. Bringing it back. Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Good man.
Favorite beach drink? Right now. You're in Tulum.
Rosé. All day.
No judging.
Thank you.
First cologne you ever owned?
Tommy Hilfiger.
Which one?
The first one.
Tommy by Tommy.
It was it like whenever I smell it, it reminds me of weed because like I would like skip school and go smoke weed in my car and then spray a bunch of Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
That smell. Yeah. So every time I smell it, it's like this crazy. Not that anyone's walking around wearing it anymore. I don't even think they make it.
You know, I'm just gonna go out and buy a bottle and just spray it around you.
I love
just
it.
Have this
I
weird
love that smell
effect.
So much. It's so weird.
Sativa or indica?
Huh. Interesting question. Traditionally, I'm a sativa guy. Lately, though, you know, sativa lets me do stuff. You know, clean my house.
Yeah. Go. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm the same way.
Yeah. Go do errands. But indica is really calming and lets me just like chill out at the end of the night. But gun to my head, sativa for sure. It's really it gets your creativity going and stuff like that. Indica's not, you're not going to really produce much
right.
smoking indica.
Well, and I mean, I feel like Eddie and I freelance so much. I mean, I personally, when I'm at home and if I want to smoke, I want to also be productive. So
yeah,
sativa's good like that. Eddie, mm-hmm. do you smoke at home?
No, I don't smoke at home. I tend to drink actually.
Yeah.
When I want to get a little creative. I do.
Yeah, no.
I do. And that happens later in the evening for me. So I'm not a morning
Do you have
person.
A creative drink?
A drink that makes me creative?
Yeah. I mean, like, sativa is my creative push. Do you have a creative...
Well, you know, my go-to at my local dive bar is whiskey and soda.
Yeah.
But, like, a proper whiskey and soda. Not so it's almost the whiskey highball, which is one part whiskey, four parts soda water.
Right.
Hence my bushy...
Yeah. my bushy foot water.
Yes.
Okay. And this... I feel like these never really go away that fast, but it's a good conversation.
We know.
So, go-to food that you make on a date. You're making dinner.
I'm making dinner for someone.
Yeah, right now.
The deal's already sealed.
Yeah.
Right? This is like a fourth date. Third date.
Third date, fourth date, yeah.
I mean, you ideally want to do something that you can maybe prep a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not like wasting your whole night in the kitchen.
This is your big show off date, yeah.
Big show off date. I'd probably go get a Peruvian chicken and like say that I made it. let's see, what did I make recently? Oh, lasagna. Lasagna's good.
Ooh, it is a good one.
Lasagna's a good one. Making fresh pasta.
Mm-hmm.
God. And sauce from scratch.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's a labor of love.
It's a labor of love. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's something you can do together.
And
usually
it's awesome too.
Or do it beforehand. And then all you got to do is put the noodles in the water.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one.
Something easy.
Okay. We try to have a marry, fuck, kill question on mm-hmm. every rapid fire. So here's a DC dives. Marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah.
Okay. You know buckle coming up. So this is actually a newer kind of a debate on what considers to be a dive, but these are like new dives.
New dives.
So not the oldest dives in DC.
Okay.
So Showtime in Bloomingdale, All Souls in Shaw, or Lyman's Tavern in
Jesus
Columbia
Christ,
Heights.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, just right off the top, I'm marrying Lyman's Tavern. I'm marrying Lyman's
Tavern. All right, they're a keeper.
Okay. That's like maybe my favorite bar in DC.
TikTok,
right? Yeah, okay. I'm as much as I love All Souls, I would kill All Souls.
Oh, you're so dead.
I'm so dead. I'm like never going to be
out of there now. There.
Because Showtime's such an like iconic staple of DC.
They went from like zero to dive instantly.
Showtime is the shit.
Yeah.
considered to have the best jukebox.
And I feel strongly about all of these bars, so it's kind of like killing one of your three favorite people, you know, if you have to. But yeah, fuck Showtime, Mary Lemons, and then
you want to do a Mary Fuck Kill with me, Matthew, and Jack?
maybe next time I'm on, we'll tackle that issue.
Let's let the coffee kick in first.
Rage.
Jack, you want some of the CBD? Are you good in there?
I can't.
Can't answer that on the radio. Okay, I got you. Got you.
Yeah. We got Jose Andres here calling in later, so like, you know, I got to be on point.
Right on.
I feel you.
To accompany our shift drink, I feel like the munchies are going to be coming on. We were talking sandwiches earlier.
Definitely.
We're here at the Line Hotel. I have to say the best sandwich I've had in a long fucking time. The porchetta sandwich at Rake's Progress.
You are not lying. And, I we're under no obligation to say anything good about any of these places.
No.
That porchetta sandwich was fucking spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And then
I closed my eyes the whole time.
The whole time.
My girlfriend. Crazy. Yeah. She made fun of me because I was just like, I was just in another place. I was transported. It's amazing.
Same. Exactly.
Wait, you had it again?
Yeah, I did the whole tasting just so I could have the sandwich. So for those of you who don't know, Rake's Progress right now, they're doing this really fun tasting. It's, I think, 6 or 7 courses. It's a really awesome deal. It's $35.
Best deal in the city right now.
Yeah. And it's all run off their cold line, and it's perfect. It's great.
It's delicious.
But you can't get just the sandwich. You have to do the whole tasting. So,
oh, really?
Fine, I'll eat the oysters.
It's a little bit over the top.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, like, so porchetta is normally loin and belly rolled together,
right,
and then roasted.
And they're doing pure belly.
They're doing pure belly. So belly on belly.
It was so ridiculous.
It's creamy. It's crunchy.
But
it's,
that raw, the like mini orca platter they sent out was totally dope too.
Yeah,
Whitestone oysters.
Yeah,
I mean, new favorite oysters of all time now.
I was really impressed, and I had no idea what to expect.
Outside of that sandwich, what any other sandos that are?
Yeah.
Calling out to you these days?
Yes, only one. And it's funny that we were talking about this before the show. Like, where is the sandwich in D.C. where I'm like, I have to have that sandwich? It's this porchetta sandwich here, 100%. Yeah. And the meats and foods breakfast sandwich.
Oh, baby.
It is so incredible. And it's so simple. It's just a potato bun with their sausage, which meats and foods is just killing the game.
Yeah,
shout to Scott and Anna, like some of the greatest people that I know in this city. But it's just egg and their sausage and this like cheddar crisp.
Ooh.
And a potato bun.
Okay.
It was, one of the best sandwiches in the city.
And they're only doing it on Sundays or?
I'm not sure exactly when they do it.
Probably on Sunday.
I think they do it daily.
For those of you who don't know Meat and Foods, they do probably one of the best half smokes as well in DC, and they're over in Bloomingdale. Definitely one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Man, funny that you mentioned Sando, because nobody really does. There's only one person that I know that does like a really good Sando.
Oh,
Japanese
the katsu?
Style Sando is katsu sandwich.
Yeah.
Izakaya Seki.
Yeah, that sandwich is delicious.
Which they make on a daily basis, and you can get it at a couple of couple of places around town.
I'm going to do a little shout out to Little Pearl, because they came back and they have two chicken fried sandwiches on there.
Oh, really?
Now. And I personally like the spicy one, but the Japanese style is also awesome.
Wow.
And I just...
A little bit of Japanese mustard?
They do, what is it, bonito flake mayo, which is really fun. I don't know. But
bonito flakes and Kewpie mayo?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. But I embarrassed myself eating one the other day because it was just like... I devoured it so quickly and it was all over my face. Spicy, sweet. I guess the weed's kicking in because we went from talking about beverages to food.
Well, thanks for telling me about these sandwiches, though. Like, one of the things I was saying before the show is that there's not a sandwich aside from those two that I in DC that I like think about that I need.
Definitely check out Little Pearl. It's
for awesome. Every now and then I have a craving for Stakowski's in Georgetown.
Yes,
he knows how to make a good sausage.
Next time you got to go to the Apple Store, you can pick one up.
That's exactly. That's every time I go to the Apple Store, I get one. That's my little tradition. They're like they've been around forever now, right?
Yeah, I mean he used to run was it Restaurant Columbia or Restaurant K downtown for a long time, and that restaurant shut down.
Ah, okay.
And then he started selling his sausages and his meats at farmers markets, and they're all great. And you'd always, you know, he's a dirty old man, always pops jokes whenever you buy his products.
I love the culture in there.
You can go to the store now, and everyone there is wearing a white shirt and a tie with an apron. It's usually like teenage or young boys. It's kind of like learning how to work in a deli shop.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Well, Nate, thank you so much for hanging out with us again today.
Yeah, man. It's my pleasure. I always love kicking it with you guys.
Right on.
Yes, it's fun. I got to get high, too, which is weird. It's happening right now.
When are these when are these bitters going to make their debut, these Mole bitters?
Oh, so it's kind of tricky, right? Like, it's kind of a gray area. Like, I don't think that I would be serving them at room 11 until that is all worked out. We don't really want to be in murky waters, but... Yeah. Hopefully I'll have it ready in the next couple weeks and I can try it out on some friends and stuff.
Right on.
Bring it by. That would be cool if that worked out. And this burgeoning weed industry in DC.
There's a lot happening in DC.
Bottle it up. Ship it.
Despite Jeff Sessions' best attempts, I think we're...
Yeah.
I mean, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. It's like reefer madness, crony. It's like still with the gateway thing.
Anything we should know about room 11 coming up?
We just rolled out a new cocktail menu, reformatted, kind of consolidated, added a little third page to it, called Odds and Ends, where we just kind of experiment with some stuff. There's a weird drink on there, a beer mousse. It's like it's basically a vermouth sage sour with topped with Pilsner.
I'm super into it.
Yeah, it's delicious. Like me and Gavin, Gavin Pierce is the general manager at Room 11, and you know we're constantly having ideas together, and his usually go much more well than mine. But I get one in there every now and again. Yeah. But we got this hot buttered rum that we don't actually use butter.
Okay,
he like whips banana. And he calls it banana butter. So right he on. Spices banana and whips it and
so it's some vegan. Sugar.
It is actually vegan.
Vegan buttered rum, friends.
Yeah. And then the beer mousse. And yeah, the menu looks cool. We're hoping to have a couple cool events coming up in the next couple months. So keep your ears out. You can follow us on Instagram at Room11DC.
Right on.
I'd love to make you guys some cocktails if you want to come by.
Can't wait. Awesome. Yeah. Well, for those of you staying at the line tonight, definitely check them out. They're awesome. Eddie Kim, any final thoughts?
I think the weed's actually kicking in for me. That's no thoughts whatsoever.
All right, perfect. Perfect. Well, we'll leave on that Zen moment then.
Sandwiches.
I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And I'm Nate Mann.
And we're with Shift Drink. We're recording live with Full Service Radio out of the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, D.C. Till next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening. And the theme song this week is called Damn by Rectech. And if I play any more of it, it'll be very not safe for work. So that's the show. Thanks for listening. Peace.